Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 9, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guyattamam Shiva Evashir Narada Sakshad Bhagavam Kapilo Nipa. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, the sage amongst the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of Godhead, all know very confidentially about his glories through direct contact. Therefore, pure devotees of the Lord are all buddhas, or persons who know the glories of the Lord in different transcendental loving services. As the Lord has innumerable expansions of his plenary form, the innumerable pure devotees of the Lord who engage in the exchange of service of different humors. Ordinarily, there are 12 great devotees of the Lord, namely Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kumar, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Bhishma, Janika, Shukadev, Goswami, Pali Maharaj, and Yamaraj. Bhishmadev, although one of them, has mentioned only three names of the 12 who know the glories of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great acharyas in the modern age, explains that Anubhav, or the glories of the Lord, is first appreciated by the devotee in ecstasy, manifesting the symptoms of perspiring, trembling, weeping, bodily eruptions, etc., which are further enhanced by steady understanding of the Lord's glories. Such different understandings of bhavas are exchanged between Yashoda and the Lord, binding the Lord by ropes, and in the chariot driving by the Lord in exchange of love with Arjuna. These glories of the Lord are exhibited in his being subordinated before his devotees, and that is another feature of the glories of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami and the Kumaras, although situated in the transcendental position, became converted by another feature of Baba and turned into pure devotees of the Lord. Tribulations imposed upon the devotee by the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and the devotees. Lord said, I put my devotee into difficulty, and then the devotee becomes purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me. Placing the devotee into material troubles means delivering him from the illusory material relations. The material relations are based on reciprocation of material enjoyment, which depends mainly on material resources. Therefore, when material resources are withdrawn by the Lord, the devotee is 7% attracted towards a transcendental loving service of the Lord. Thus the Lord snatches the fallen soul from the mirror of material existence. Tribulations offered by the Lord to his devotees are different from the tribulations resulting from vicious action. All these glories of the Lord are especially known to the great Mahajan, like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kapila, Kumar, and Bhishma, as mentioned above, and one is able to grasp it by their grace. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ananjana Shalakaya Chaksurimulatangyena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Napitangyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakopa Tarubhyascha Vipashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, just give me another minute. I'm sorry for all the disturbance. I'll be right back. Okay, Michael saved the day. I don't know how much of the purport you heard, but I said greetings from the Bhakti Center, and I described that real satisfied. I went to the relocation opening of a major yoga studio, and Raghunath was there, Kasturba and myself, and great satisfaction that through the hard work of the devotees here, the image of New York of the Hare Krishnas is really radically changed. Really radically changed. It's a very respected spiritual group. Anyway, they you know, did it in a very nice way. They sent a very nice car to pick me up, and Kasturba and Trimpak went with us at the Bhakti Center, and then sent us back. And you know, it's just so now the verse we're up to, you know, the story of Bhishma Dev, and we're in this whole story about Marge Prickett's life, but it goes off. It's kind of like a movie, you know, where, you know, the sage is asked, like, what about Marge Prickett? And Sutta Goswami begins to describe it. You go to the scene just before where he's born, you know, and he's in the womb of his mother, and Krishna saves him. And then, because he's going to be the instrument for Krishna to appear after he leaves the planet, because Krishna appears in the form of the Bhagavatam, which is a spoken message, so needs a listener or a student for it to manifest. It's so nice, isn't it? For the Bhagavatam to manifest, you need someone who wants to hear it. I myself am always so grateful for the people who listen on this class and other classes and come to hear. So, although they're asking about the history of the Bhagavatam and the people who helped manifest it initially, the story goes to Krishna, and he's there, and we're following him, and then it's after the war, and he's leaving, and we see these deep, loving relationships. And then we see that Yudhisthira comes to him with his despondency, and Krishna, wanting to glorify his devotee, Bhishma Dev, who's lying on the battlefield in a bed of arrows, somehow or other inspires Maharaj Yudhisthira within his heart not to understand message he's giving, so he can send him to his grandfather and have Bhishma Dev speak in front of all the great assembled sages that have come there. So in that particular part, and it's a wonderful glory of Krishna that he wants to glorify his devotee. And fortunately or unfortunately, he has to purify to make us qualified. he wants to glorify his devotee. And, yeah, I guess he has to purify us to become worthy. But his goal is to glorify us and to make us worthy. So he asked Bhishma Dev this really seminal question of, which is summed up in the modern day phrase, why do bad things happen to, why do bad things happen to good people? And he just explained that God is going for the soul. And he frustrates us in this world to redirect us towards the soul. But that's his mercy. And if we see things like that, we will see God's mercy. And we will see that his standard of what is mercy is much higher than ours, which is so limited and temporary. And he tells Bhishma Dev, if in your tribulations, you can have confidence that it's God. And really understand that destiny is God. And I coined the phrase that destiny is God, is the language of God, which holds the mercy of message. There's a mercy in message. So if you understand it's God, and you understand that destiny is the mercy of message, and you try to understand the science of responding to a particular message from God, even not understanding the exact message, understanding how appropriately one should respond to the circumstance that God puts you in. And of course, that means following in the footsteps of the great devotees. Then you will most likely extract that message. And you will see that message as a jewel of vision and realization that's such a key component to your ultimate happiness. And then Bhishma Dev also made another interesting point that God's plan is too intricate for us to understand. You have to, because his plan to purify us is informed by a detailed understanding of our nature, our past actions, and the complexity of our thought processes, and the order in which we need to understand things, because one truth requires an understanding of another truth, and that truth understands another requires an understanding of another truth. So to understand something or to give someone some understanding, you may have to build up a substantial frame of reference in that person. A substantial frame of reference. To understand what I understand now, there's so many realizations that I required and so many experiences I had to undergo to get those realizations that I wouldn't be able to understand the thing I'm going through now without that. So it's very inconceivable. And now, as he said, that, you know, the absolute, you know, destiny is God. Kala is Vishnu in the form of time, and that you should surrender to God. Now he's explaining, in the previous verse he explained that there's none other than Krishna. And that only the devotees really know his glories, and that's theoretically and practically, they're the only ones that know his glories. And they know his glories through direct contact. So they know his glories, which are Guhyatamam, very confidential. Veda, these people know his glories, which is very confidential, because they had relationship, direct contact. And the real glory of a person is his love. Right? If you know someone, what's the real glory think of someone you admire very much or you have a very close relationship, their real glory is their friendship or the romantic feelings or the parental feelings or the feelings of it's the real glory is a person's heart. So to really know God, you need to know his heart. And you need to know his love in the particular relationship that you have. And you have to be a devotee. Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakto Sime Sakha. What is that? I'm giving this knowledge just because you're a devotee and my friend. So it's confidential knowledge. Here it is, says Guhyatamam. Very confidential. And that's why in the process of bhakti, the abhideya, or the means of knowing the absolute truth, is devotion or love. Because our conception of the absolute truth is a person. And a person is only known in love. You can't know a person theoretically. A person is only known in love. And therefore, the only way to understand God, to understand Krishna, is through a relationship. And therefore, it's being discussed here by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, etc., that the real glories of God is appreciated when you have very, very deep love. Because when you really know God's glories, it says here in the verse, you will cry in ecstasy. You'll perspire. It'll overwhelm your consciousness. If you really know God's glories, it's not just an intellectual thing. You experience God, and you experience the glory of God. Because God has revealed himself to you in love. And therefore, as says in the purport, it's first appreciated in love, in your ecstasy. And that is the piyojana, that is the goal of life. I always outline these three categories of knowledge in all philosophies. They must have a sambandha, a description of reality, and a valid form of evidence to affirm your conception of reality. And then there must be abhideya, there must be a means of understanding God. And so our sambandha is But the ultimate reality is God and God's devotees. And our means of understanding that is love, bhakti. And the experience of understanding reality, the prayojana, is the feelings you have in relationship with reality when you understand reality. Like someone hasn't ever met his mother, then all of a sudden he meets his mother. There's so much love. We have stories of people who have been separated during World War II. You know, sisters and brothers, etc. They're separated in World War II. And then 70 years later, they're discovered. And then they come off the plane, and there's love. You feel it because there's a relationship. So when God reveals himself, when we actually see God, we understand God. It's not just theoretical. We're experiencing God. Then the symptoms of understanding the glory of God will be our ecstasy. Because understanding God means to feel God. The ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness is not just to understand reality, but to experience. It's a difficulty to deliver us from illusory material conceptions and relationships. Okay, we'll go on to the next verse. Yananyase matuleyam priyam mitram suritamam akaro sachivam dutam soryadar atasaratim. O king, that personality whom out of ignorance only you thought to be your maternal cousin, your dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of God in Sri Krishna purport. Lord Sri Krishna, although acting as the cousin, brother, friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor of the Pandavas, was still the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy and favor upon his unalloyed devotees, he performs all kinds of service. But that does not mean that he has changed his position as the absolute person. To think of him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance. So Prabhupada is giving the purport because Bhishma Dev is telling Marjuna Steer that person who you had a personal relationship, that is Bhagavan. That is the personality of Godhead. And a key point of Krishna consciousness is that aspect of God as a friend, as a messenger, as a counselor, as a cousin, does not make him ordinary. It's one of his transcendental attributes. Just like if you have someone who's the president, the fact that he's also a friend, a well-wisher, and so many other things is not a limit to that person. It's part of his glories. So, and that was the whole story of Brahma Bimohan Lila, when Lord Brahma tried to bewilder. Okay, we're back on. Oh, wait. Is it? Yeah, I'm back on.
David.
What?
David.
Okay, Michael saved the day again. So, I was explaining Lord Brahma, that whole story shows that simple form of Krishna is not limiting his immanence, not limiting his omniscience, not limiting his power, but to take that away would. Because the conception that God is just Brahman takes away the attributes of his love, his personality, etc., which we experience in this world as the fullest manifestation of being. But to be a person, in our conception, doesn't take away the fact that God is also all-pervading and omniscient and all-powerful. But that is one of the attributes of that person, Krishna. Savatmanam samodrisho. Next verse. Yadvasyasyanu hankrite tatkritam mati vaishyam yam niravadyasyakaharachit. Being the absolute personality of God, and he's present in everyone's heart, he's equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He is equal balanced. So now Bhishma Dev is going to explain that although he is a person, and although he has activities that have the form of the person and the form of the activities that we have, he's present in everyone's heart still. He's kind to everyone, and he's free from the material identity. Purport, because he is absolute, there is nothing different from him. He is Kaivalya. There is nothing except himself. Everything and everyone is a manifestation of his energy. And thus he is present everywhere by his energy, being non-different from it. The sun is identified with every inch of the sun rays and every molecule particle of the rays. Similarly, the Lord is distributed by his different energy. What a great analogy. The sun is pervasive. So it doesn't deny that it's localized, and it doesn't deny that it's pervasive. And no part of the sun is not the sun, even though the sun rays are not the sun globe. So in a similar way, God is all pervasive. And that doesn't, mayam tatam idam sarvam jagadav yakta, but that doesn't deny that he's also localized. And doesn't deny that every part is also, in a way, God, as much as my hand is the body, my foot is the body, even though it's not the possessor of the limbs, it's still my body. He is Paramatma, the super soul, present in everyone as a supreme guidance. And therefore, he is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living beings. When he therefore exhibits himself as the chariot driver of Arjuna, there's no change in his exalted position. It is the power of devotional service that only demonstrate him as the chariot driver or the messenger. So he's all pervasive, but his personal and beautiful aspect, his being, manifests in love. And that doesn't diminish his position. That enhances position as much as a very, very big person has friendship. That's wonderful. That very, very big person has people he's equal with. That very, very big person has parents who are superior to him. Since he has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because he is absolute spiritual identity, there is for him no superior or inferior action. Being the absolute personality of God, he has no false ego, so he does not identify himself with anything different from him. The material conception of ego is equibalanced in him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of his pure devotee. It is the glory of the pure devotee only that he can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. So he doesn't have false ego. He doesn't have a limited conception. He's not designated in one place. Sarvapati Vinir Muktam Tatpuratvena Nirmala. He's not limited in one place. So he is a chariot driver and he's also God. He's a servant and he's a friend. He's a servant and he's a lover. He's in front of you, he's in your heart. What is that verse? Tadejati tadnaijati tadure tadvantike. He's near and far. Tadantrasya sarvasya. He's in the heart. He's everywhere. Tadejati tadnaijati. He walks. He doesn't walk. And it's the glory of the devotee and the glory of bhakti that he brings out the personal aspect of God. Text 922. Tatapye kanta bhakteshu pasya bhupa nukampitam yaneshum jajita sakshat krishno darshanam agata. Yet despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. Supreme Lord, the Absolute Personality of God is Sri Krishna, equal to everyone, is still more inclined to his unflinching devotee who is completely surrendered and knows no one else as his protector and master. Having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend, and master is the natural condition of eternal life. A living entity is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in the condition of absolute dependence. The child is most happy when in shelter of his mother and father. That's his nature. That's his constitution. And in a similar way, we are most happy when we are in shelter and dependence of God and have that faith that there is a God, and have a drop of understanding what that means. And not feel envy, because what that means is that he's great, and we're part of him, and we should serve the great. And in doing so, he reciprocates. And he becomes more inclined to us, because he doesn't have the defective impersonality. He reciprocates in relationships that increases his love for those who are dependent on him. And that is not partiality. That is personality. So that's his nature. The opposite tendency to cause a fall down. Living entity has this tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent to lord it over the material nature. The root cause of all troubles is there in false egotism. One must draw towards the Lord in all circumstances. So there's four types of anarthas or unwanted things, but the root and the main one is Sarup Brahma. And Sarup Brahma means to be illusion about our identity. And thinking that we're independent of God, thinking that we're the enjoyer and controller. And that's why bhakti is the supreme process of self-realization, because if anything else, it purifies the ahankara. It's a quick change of identity to a spiritual identity. And spiritual means love. And spiritual means free from ego. Spiritual means that I don't think of myself the center of the world. Spiritual means I'm happy to be what I am, which is servant of the greatest. And when you're not happy to be the servant, that's called false egoism. And it's the root of all troubles. Because there's no trouble in the soul. The only trouble is in our perception due to our attachments. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here because I have several more classes today, including a six-hour stretch this afternoon. But if anyone would like to say hello, please. Maybe I have to. Let me see.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo. Nice class. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this Sangha. It's a lifeline. Thank you.
Wow, it's a lifeline that I have people that let me speak. Thank you. Okay, great. Anybody else say hello, please?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Okay, hi, Bo. Anybody else say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
Gordon.
Hi, Bo. Great.
Hi, Bo.
Great. One more? Okay, now I will go now.